guess my rain dance paid off. Yes, we finally got some rain up at the Buckmaster Hacienda in the central foothills. We've got one of those, kind of a cheapy rain gauge, and it showed about a quarter of an inch, just below a quarter of an inch. Rained for about 20 minutes, and it was wonderful. That was, of course, Saturday. It's the Buckmaster Show kicking off a new week. Here we are. It's June 20th. This is the federal holiday observed today for Juneteenth, and Juneteenth is the 19th of June, so officially Juneteenth was yesterday, but the holiday is being observed today. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. There's also some good news about the, I think it's called the Contreras fire up at Kitt Peak. The New York Times has been reporting. They reported in today's edition they got a hold of some of the astronomers, and the word is there is no extensive damage to the telescope complex. So that's very good news. Every Monday we kick off the Buckmaster Show with our Monday political face-off. Our team of commentators today, Shelley Kice is with us. Shelley is a one-time congressional candidate. She is the current chairwoman of the Pima County Republican Party, a very busy lady right now, as elections now right around the corner. And she also is a member of the five-member Continental School Board. Shelley, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Brian Bickle's with us. Brian, hey, how are you?
Doing very well, Bill. Thanks.
Brian is treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. He ran for Pima County Supervisor in District 1 in 2016, and he ran for Pima County Treasurer in 2020. It is hard to believe, but the primary election in Arizona is 6 weeks from tomorrow, and it just, maybe it's because we've got new districts, Brian and Shelley. We've got a primary that's earlier than usual. We were always pretty much, as far as I can remember, we've had kind of a Labor Day primary. There's a lot of things, moving parts right now, Shelley Kice.
Yes, there is. There are a lot of moving pieces, but we are well on our way. We've got our debates going. We have our candidates out working hard, and I think we are ready to go. We are training our poll observers. We are making sure that everything's working. We're keeping a close eye on what's going on at the county to make sure that they get the equipment that they said they would. Because again, we do have a new recorder, I believe an assistant recorder, a new elections director. So we kind of have a new team over there, and we're keeping our eyes peeled so that we can help in any way that is needed.
And you're recruiting Republican poll workers.
We have recruited Republican poll workers and observers. We've already trained over 300. We'll be doing more training this afternoon. We'll be rolling out a whole training segment next week. And we hope to have 800 to 1,000 on the ground.
What about this, Brian? There's kind of a feeling that people aren't really, first of all, they're not aware there's an election. There's a lot of confusion.
Confusion, I guess, is one way to put it. I think some of it has to do with the fact that we're looking at a midterm that's fairly unexciting. Lots of new candidates on
a lot of new faces
on both sides.
You were sharing with me before the show about your own LD district. I think you said there were like five or six candidates.
Well, we've got two for the Senate and five for the House.
So
it's a crowded field, and mm-hmm. I think people are still trying to figure out how to deal with the post-pandemic COVID-19 situation. There's among some people, reluctance to go maskless, although it's been kind of a boon for my wife. She has trouble with allergies, and she wore her mask after everybody else quit and probably had the best spring of her life recently.
That's good
just because
news.
She didn't deal with the Palo Verde pollen as much as she normally does. But, you know, we're kind of in the same boat as Shelley. We're training poll observers and putting together a team of election lawyers. That's always handled out of the state party office, not so much things that we have to do down here, but people that have questions or concerns, there's a resource for them to go back to. Yeah, there's a little bit of concern as far as the recorder and the elections department are concerned, but I think from a voter's perspective, the biggest thing they're going to see, well, the active early voting list people aren't going to notice any changes at all.
Because they will not be dealing with these so-called e-poll books.
That's correct. For them, the vote is going to be just like it always has been, and that's been usually between 80 and 85% of the voting population in Pima County. So the vast majority of voters won't be affected by what's going on as far as the vote centers are concerned and the e-poll books are concerned.
So people will vote on election day. It'd be a little bit different. They'll no longer have to cast their ballot at their designated precinct.
That's the big difference is, and one of the things that's come out of all of this, and Brad Nelson was working on the issue before he retired, the vast majority of provisional ballots that were cast by people that were voting in other than the precinct polling place where they were supposed to vote and were, or where they thought mm-hmm. they were supposed to vote. And they were pretty adamant about not going to where the poll workers said they needed to go.
So that could iron that problem out, you think, huh?
Well, that's certainly one of the intended consequences of going to the new system is if we can cut the number of provisional ballots, which are by far the most difficult segment of the voting process to deal with as far as time consumption is concerned, we may.
Shelley, you've got all sorts of concerns, though, don't you?
Well, yeah, I do. I do have a lot of concerns because I'm concerned about, again, the integrity of our election. It is now, there are 129 vote centers, and people can go to any vote center. And the theory is that the e-poll book will recognize, of course, you give them your name, and they will print out a ballot that is specific for you. I'm not sure about the Democrats, but the Republicans even have some contested races for precinct committeemen. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of precincts that will be voting for precinct committeemen. So if you happen to be outside your legislative district, you'll want to check to make sure that your precinct is correct. And in addition to that, we have to remember just, 2 or 3 weeks ago, our county recorder mailed out 84,000 incorrect voter ID cards. I believe that's either a 14 or a 16% failure rate. And so, you know, pretty much we all know that in business, if you had a 14 or 16% failure rate, you'd be looking for a new job. So we're going to have to send out new voter registration cards, but we want everybody to look at that voter registration card, and in there you'll see your congressional district, your legislative district. You know, this is, while it's not the presidential, it's pretty exciting. I mean, we're going to be voting for a new governor, a secretary of state, an attorney general. You know, we go a new treasurer. We've got school board seats that are
a
up.
A new congressperson?
Yeah, our new Congress.
Newly reconstituted CD6.
Correct.
Yeah.
And CD7. Mm-hmm. So some of us in Pima County fall under CD7 as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not the presidential year, but boy, it's everything that's close to home from some of our school board seats to our, right up to our governor. So I think it's pretty exciting. We had a great Republican gubernatorial and U.S. Senate debate on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so we are getting out there and getting our candidates out there, getting them heard. And so we call it a midterm. I personally think it's going to be one of the most exciting midterms, at least since 1994 for me.
Okay, now tell me about the event tonight. Promote that because that is open to the public.
Yes, you will need to get a seat, but there is a CD6 debate tonight at the Stardance Event Center, and you will need to register. So you can Google candidate debate forum for District 6, and you should be able to find that. And that is, that's a debate tonight for our Republican congressional CD6 mm-hmm. candidates. Mm-hmm.
And you have how many?
We have five.
Yeah, five. And again, for those that have not kept up on it, CD6, Brian, is the old CD2.
It's the old CD2 and actually a fairly good portion of the old CD1. Oral Valley, Marana, the northwestern part of Pima County used to be in CD1, part of Congressman O'Halloran's district, which is no longer the case. And it runs all the way up to Copa City. So it's... But it, yeah, from the southeast perspective, it pretty much replaces CD2.
So we used to have three, excuse me, congressional areas of influence in southern Arizona. We now have two.
CD6 and CD7.
Yeah. And O'Halloran is not in our area of influence.
No, he's...
For our broadcast purposes here.
No, he comes down to... picks up some of Graham County, a little bit of Gila County, Pinal County, but he doesn't come into Pima County at all anymore.
All right, our Monday political face-off presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I went by and saw Moe and his lovely daughter, Corinne, and they're doing very well over at Moe's, family-owned and run. Since 1985, they specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. That means Mo will take the truck out to your home and make sure that your art goes up on the wall the way you want it to be. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, they're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. They're right next to Copenhagen. There you go, Copenhagen. You get a free plug. Because Mo is right next door, and he's a good neighbor, and he likes Copenhagen. Their website is moesgallery.com. Additional support comes from our favorite bakery in town, and that, of course, is Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona, located at northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. They are open Tuesday through Sunday, 6:30 in the morning. Mo doesn't open the doors. Steve opens the doors up at Mona's, and they are ready for bakery goods and a wonderful breakfast at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. Back with Brian Bickle and Shelley Keis right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on the web at moesgallery.com. Our team of commentators today for our Monday political face-off, Brian Bickle is seated to my left. Brian is treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. And seated to my right is Shelley Kice, who is the current chairwoman. She has another year on her chairwomanship of the Pima County Republican Party. There was something else I wanted to talk about. Pima County to hold a mock election to demonstrate these vote centers and the new voting equipment, Brian Bickle. There are some issues. Printers are coming out. One of them has arrived, but you need a whole lot more.
Yeah, we're waiting on about 400 more printers in order for them to get here. The manufacturer has been in touch with the elections department. They've been promised delivery by the first of the month, so we're cautiously optimistic that they'll be here. You know, part of the mock election process is just to let people see the system in work, and it's a great opportunity to test the system and make sure that it works the way that it's supposed to. And the two that I've observed so far, it performs as it said it would perform, and we're cautiously, well, no, I wouldn't say cautiously optimistic that this will go off without a hitch. I've never seen an election go off without a hitch yet, whether it's a new process or the old process. There's always something that doesn't work quite the way that it was supposed to, but you deal with the issue and fix it and move on down the road.
Shelley, the mock election is open to the public. It will be held Friday, June 24th, that's this Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. at the Abrams Health Center. That's 3950 South Country Club Road. The public will be able to participate in the mock election to experience the check-in process and other elements of the vote center voting.
Well, that's good that we're trying it out. I think, Brian, this may be the first time that I've agreed with you, but I do agree with you that this probably is not going to go off without a hitch. I think we're going to have some issues, and we want to have free and fair elections. And so I'm glad that this is going to be open to the public. I'm ever hopeful that we do not have problems with printers, but we do still have one big problem, and that is we haven't seen a lot of public service announcements. We've cut over to a whole new system. There's been no advertising by the recorder's office. There's been nothing done by the elections director. The elections director has been here since the 1st of April. This is a failure in communication, and the Pima County Department of Government should be very disappointed in how they've handled this. And the people, the citizens of Pima County need to remember this. this. We need to remember that, you know, while our Pima County administrator was, I don't know, he was either retired, he was a consultant, he was doing something, I don't know. And so then we had a new elections director, or I'm sorry, a new administrator show up, and right on her heels, we got a new elections director showed up. We brought in a new county recorder that had little or no experience. And now we've coupled it with the fact that they don't know how to put out a marketing campaign to get the information out to our voters. Then we triple on top of that the fact that we sent out 84,000 incorrect voter registration cards. And you know what? I think, Brian, that we've already had a pretty significant failure in a system. Anyone who's put together a project plan knows that this is a failure, a first point of failure, and it needs to be corrected immediately. And thank you, Bill, for bringing this up, because it's important for us to let people know that you can go to the Pima County Recorder's website and you can type in your address. You'll be able to find out what your congressional district, your legislative district, your school district, your precinct number, all of those things are right on your voter ID card. We actually, in our ePulse, which we put out frequently every 2 weeks, and we've been putting out articles by Kata Mapes that explains how to read your voter registration card, so you'll understand moving forward what this is going to look like.
Well, Brian, I think Shelley's onto something. There really hasn't been, and that's kind of, I think, why I began the face-off today saying there was this feeling that a lot of people don't realize there is a primary that's coming up in 6 weeks. Maybe we haven't gotten the word out enough.
And that's very possible. Mm-hmm. But certainly the elections director has to operate through the county administrator. The recorder, we elected. Granted, not a lot of experience being the recorder, but then again, I haven't seen a first-term anything that's got a lot of experience at the job that they were just elected to. So,
and she has these huge shoes to fill. I mean, F.N. Rodriguez was just legendary in this place. I mean, she served as the recorder for 25 years.
28 years.
28 years. Yeah.
She did. And she was not a fan of e-poll books. She was the only recorder in Pima County. In fact, Pima County is the last county to adopt e-poll books. That's not a, maybe it's time, or maybe we were the only ones doing the right thing. I don't know. We'll certainly find out on August the 2nd. But I'm not willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We've got several inexperienced people running a Pima County election, but it's not like they haven't run elections elsewhere. And I think part of the problem with the bad voter ID cards is we're still trying to deal with the reprecincting process in Pima County. And it is one of the failures that we had as a result of the COVID situation is the Board of Supervisors redistricted themselves late. Mm-hmm. Significantly later than they should have. They did it legally. I mean, they got permission to do it that way from the legislature. But, you know, when you start stacking all the things up and pushing things back, it doesn't make for an easy process when you're looking at the amount of change that we had. And, you know, I understand we've got a lot of new people in the system, but Brad Nelson retired. Mm-hmm. He walked away from the position, so you have to fill that one. And mm-hmm. FN retired, so you had to have a new recorder. It's not like we went out and willy-nilly just got rid of a bunch of people so that we'd have problems to deal with it. It's the planets all lined up the wrong way so that we had a whole bunch of new people at the same time, and
so
we'll have to figure out how to deal with it.
84 or 85,000?
84,000.
So will each of those people be getting the new card in the mail, or does everybody get a new? They're not going to blank. I mean, what percentage again was?
It's about 14%.
Okay.
And the 84,000 will be getting a new card in the mail again at Pima County taxpayer expense. And the recorder did say that she knew when she sent them out that they were incorrect, and but that she had contingency funds, which is translates to taxpayer dollars, to resend them. So that's a real issue. And the fact that we didn't know about this, every business in town is looking at success. succession planning. And so we should have been looking at this. And the fact that we don't have Pam Franklin, we don't have Ann Lilly, these were the people that have been in these positions, not as elected officials or appointed officials, but as people who knew the system and could back this up. And so losing them is critical too, but it also goes to speak to the fact that we are not doing succession planning, we are not planning, and we've been put in a situation that's the result of the poor management of Pima County and our Board of Supervisors not paying attention.
Okay, Shelley, before we go again, that Republican congressional debate tonight is at what time?
It's at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, and do people need...
They need a ticket. They need to register. So I would encourage them to Google it, and you should be able to find it, and then they can go and register for the event.
And the
because
venue
of the
is...
seating. Star Dancer.
Mm. And all of the candidates are invited and have responded.
And have confirmed. These are Republican candidates.
Republican candidates, right. All right, Brian, thank you. Great to see you.
Good to see you again.
And Shelley, thanks for coming. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Good to see you, Brian.
All right. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presents our Monday Political Face-Off. We love Mo and his team. They are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing. Their website is mosgallery.com. They're doing e-commerce now. The website looks great, as does the shop. I was over at the shop on Saturday. Some beautiful things for sale on the wall, ready for you to purchase. We'll be right back. Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines for a newsmaker interview with us. We'll have Dr. Hines on after we take the mid-show break. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, beautiful 13-acre site that is home also to Zocalo Village. And at Green Things, they import their Talavera pottery, beautiful pottery from Mexico, directly from Mexico to you. At Tucson's largest collection of sizes, shapes, and styles at great prices. The website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Hope to see you over at Green Things. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for our newsmaker interview today with Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines, Democrat, representing the 2nd Supervisorial District. Dr. Hines, how are you?
Doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. I see Dr. Cullen has put together a news conference for this afternoon. There's been a lot of confusion, I understand, about the rollout, how it's all going to work of the COVID-19 vaccine for children under 5 that was approved over the weekend. Some of your thoughts on that, Dr. Hines.
Sure. No, I have a great deal of confidence in Dr. Cullen. I worked with her at my hospital for many, many years, and then intermittently with her during our time together in the Obama administration. She was there when I was there as well. So I'm sure that she has she has a plan in place, or is putting a plan in place, and we'll hear more about that and have clarity there. I think it's some really we've come a long way since the very first vaccine was approved. Now that we're able to, extend that vaccination protection to children in this age range, I think that's really phenomenal, and it's going to help prevent the spread of COVID going forward. And I hope that everyone will participate.
She was with us on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about this increasing number of cases. Half of the cases now are breakthroughs, and I don't think they're calling them breakthrough. I forgot the word that she used. Well, let's call them, for my purposes, breakthrough infections of COVID. The weekly count is about 300 cases a day. And Dr. Cullen said you can multiply that by at least 5. So that would put, like, because of so many people home testing, that would put us at about 1,500 cases of COVID a day. That's a lot of cases. And we're right up there with, I think, the height of the pandemic, Dr. Hines.
That's certainly correct in terms of the number. What that doesn't take into account, though, is hospitalization rate and mortality rate, and some of those other numbers that we are not seeing. We are not seeing the same number of people coming in with severe respiratory symptoms requiring intubation, ventilation, and placement in ICUs. That we are in fact getting an uptick of COVID cases in the hospital, but in many cases they are incidental, like they're there for a heart attack, or they're there for GI bleeding, or some other, a broken hip or something. And incidentally, they have a little congestion, a little cough. We check them, or fever, and they happen to also be COVID positive, but they are not being, moved to our ICU, and we're not seeing the number of deaths either. So I think that kind of we expected, as COVID continues to change and to, you know, have its genetics, it mutates, right, just naturally as viruses do, that the vaccine's not going to be as good at preventing people from getting cases. But what the vaccine is clearly doing is making sure that the people that do get sick are not ending up hospitalized, or if so, they have very minor symptoms or much more minor than they were having before during the first few spikes.
Yeah, and so many people we know, I'm sure, Dr. Hines, you know a bunch of them. I do as well. People who are very cautious for over two years are fully vaccinated, are getting COVID. They're testing for COVID, and they're presenting with what some would describe as a bad or a very bad cold, and maybe a light fever, maybe about 100 degrees, up to 100 degrees. So it's still something you don't want to get COVID, Dr. Matt Hines, because I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be sick even with a really bad cold. Do you?
No, not at all. And that's something that I've told my patients and anyone who will listen. Look, you know, the two-year experience with this plague that we've been suffering through. You know, when was the last time that you had a cold, like a common cold? And for almost 2 years, I didn't have anything of the kind. So it just tells you that the masks work, as much as people like to politicize them and make them, you know, these very strange arguments about them. They're effective. And I know we don't have to wear masks on planes. I still wear one, sometimes two, if I'm traveling, because I don't want to get a head cold from the dude sniffling and snorting next to me, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, let's use our common sense. But we can see that the vaccines work, and we're going to see that we're going to need a redo of our COVID vaccines. We are still basically using, you know, booster, the third booster, fourth booster, if people qualify. They're the same exact preparation. We don't yet have, and I know this is being worked on, but we do need to look toward the time when we're going to have a completely revamped one that has taken into account a lot of the mutations and has done that. And we're going to probably see, I imagine every couple of years or so, we're going to probably see a sort of redone vaccine situation, almost like we have for the flu vaccine that we get every year.
Yeah, and you know, here's another reason why some people might want to reconsider masking, Dr. Hines. As Dr. Cullen shared with us on the show, flu, influenza, normally peaks February, sometimes into March. Guess what? Mm-hmm. And this will not be a surprise to you, Dr. Hines, because this is your business. It peaked in June and is peaking in June in Pima County.
It's very strange. For a couple of years, we didn't see almost any flu because, again, everybody was so, you know, masking completely everywhere. But yeah, we're seeing an ongoing, I would say, spike in influenza A and influenza B cases, which I don't remember seeing many of at all in my past. So that's still happening now. In fact, I believe this past week I had a couple of influenza A admissions as well.
I want to share with our listeners, and we, perhaps you saw this op-ed piece in the New York Times by Dr. Daniela Lamas. She's a contributing opinion writer for the Times. Dr. Lamas is a pulmonary and critical care physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Here's just a sentence or two of what she said. There's a new normal in the hospital settings in America. Here in the hospital, we seem to have settled into a new kind of normal, one characterized by limited staffing and medication shortages and an erosion of family presence that we once embraced. Dr. Hines, your profession has changed over the past 2 years dramatically.
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, I see all of that. We still have a very limited visitor policy. It is obviously for people's safety. In certain circumstances, we of course want to welcome family there for interpretation, or if folks maybe get a little confused at night, having a family member at the bedside that is someone who is familiar to them to help keep them calm and keep them running around. Sure. But it's much more limited than it used to be. And that has an impact on people's ability to feel safe and to heal, and also to make sure that care continues in the home. Because if someone maybe doesn't understand everything we're recommending to them. They just leave with a pack of papers. It's better to have some family members there to help us, you know, reinforce those points before they're discharged. So you're absolutely right. And there's nursing shortages and shortages of within all different ancillary support staff groups at most of our hospitals on a daily basis, on a nightly basis. And that impacts a lot of things, nurse-to-patient ratios, and whether or not we can accommodate enough beds to staff enough beds to get everybody in the ER lobby who needs to be admitted into the hospital. And we're seeing, and even though that we aren't seeing that massive spike of COVID cases in hospitals overwhelming things like we saw, you know, a year or more ago, we are still having an overwhelmed situation in the hospital, I think, due to some of the effects from the pandemic.
All right. When we continue with Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat District 2, we're going to talk about how the Great Resignation has affected Pima County and City of Tucson government as well. It's a serious situation, and it is affecting the whole budget discussion in Pima County. We'll continue with Dr. Matt Hines on the Buckmaster Show after we take the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great time of year to visit Silver City. One of the big selling points is the temperature is going to be lower in a Silver City than it will be in Tucson while we get up to, well, we usually say it's about 10 degrees cooler. In Silver City, and they're right around 80 degrees here at midday, so that's about right. It's a great time of year, as I say, get out early, do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, or visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. You can find out, and I hope you do, log into southwestnewmexico.org to start your planning for what is about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. Good getaway for you, especially
with the upcoming 4th of July weekend getaway to Silver City. We continue now with our conversation with Dr. Matt Hines, representing Supervisorial District Number 2. He is a Democrat. Dr. Hines, the Great Resignation has hit so many businesses and governmental agencies. Pima County is no exception. Some departments have as many as 1 in 3 positions that are open. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it for sure is. I mean, this is definitely affecting the county, as we've been hearing in our discussions at the board. You know, we have a 17% vacancy rate. That's incredibly high
Wow.
for any large organization. I mean, we normally have just under 7,000 positions filled, and I think we have about 5,700 of those folks filled right now. So we really have to work on this, which is why we've been discussing ways to attract and retain good staff, and to reward them for you know, when they're excelling, and do what we need to try to keep them here, because they will leave us.
You and your colleagues and county administrators submitted 8 different formulas outlining cost of living adjustments for further financial analysis. The board couldn't agree on a single package at the June 7th meeting, so that delays the final budget adoption to July 5th. Which program of these 8 would you favor?
You know, I put in a couple of different versions of one myself. I think the key is, especially those who are making, you know, at or below $25 an hour, that's about 3,000 people, as I recall, 3,400 or so. We need to hold these folks harmless from inflation. It was about 4.7% throughout 2021, and it's looking like it'll be 8.5% for 2022. And the 5% raise that we did for 2021 across the board basically held everyone harmless from inflation, but it didn't really give them much of an actual raise in terms of their spending power. And so, the both proposals that I put forth, and also to a certain degree what that Adelaide Dekrihova as well as Rex Scott put forward, were packages to do a lot to help those who are earning about $52,000 a year or less, and then. You know, the good news is the fact that there are just a bunch of different options to do what we can to help increase compensation, to help folks deal with this inflation and the cost of living increases as a result. That's great news. I suspect we'll have 3 or 4 votes to do one of these. And I would favor, in fact, I was even willing to get behind Rex Scott's proposal because it was a bit more generous than either of the ones I had proposed. So I'm willing to look at other proposals. I think we're going to come to an agreement to do at least to hold folks harmless at that $25 an hour level or below, and then do some more modest increases above that point for those who can tolerate that inflation a bit better.
How about the COVID-19 vaccine requirement? Is that still a requirement to work in Pima County?
That I'm hopefully not mistaken, but I believe that is, unless that is something that the administrator removed. I will double check on that, but I believe that it is.
So the money you would go along with Supervisor Scott, and was his program the most generous of those 8 that were submitted?
I know I review, of course, my own 2,
sure.
Then of course the one that the staff put forward, that Jim Lesher put forward, one that Supervisor Hala put forward, I had looked at, and as well, you know, just on the morning of our last meeting, the one that Supervisor Scott put forward. It did appear of those 5, I believe, that I've no personally reviewed. Of those 5, it did appear to be the most generous, which is why I was happy to put that one forward.
So the overall spending program, Dr. Hines, the fiscal year program, which kicks in July 1, somewhat, it will reduce the tax rate, I understand, for the 5th year in a row.
Yes.
So it is, would you consider this taxpayer friendly, this budget?
I do. I mean, I think it's all about balance, right? The government, we exist to provide services, county services, to businesses, to individuals, depending on the particular service you're looking for, voting, elections. That's an incredibly important role of the county, the public health side of things. So we have to look at balance. And on balance, we're seeing for the fifth time in a row a decrease in the property tax rate, but maintaining these services the way they should be. And I would even submit if need be, going forward, if we need to, whether it's due to need for additional raises to keep people or to retain people, we could even reduce that tax rate a little bit less and still be reducing the tax rate, but being able to make sure that we keep the staff that we need to perform these services.
I want to talk a little bit, and this is the first time we've talked since the city voters said yes to their road plan, extending what the city has already done as far as road repair, and there's quite an ambitious maintenance program over the next 10 years. How do you think that might impact what is being referred to as RTA Next, Dr. Hines?
So good news, it shouldn't impact the funding stream because that is separate, that is above and different. So it's not instead of, it's just separate from and in addition to. So I was worried about potentially, anything that could impact the funding stream for RTA Next. I think we do have a long way to go on RTA Next, and you can see that what the city of Tucson did and their voters did, it is a huge priority not just to have these massive ribbons of asphalt and concrete going everywhere. Phoenix has that, and continues to be warmer than us. I don't know that that's really the priority, people. If we don't have funds in these ongoing large programs to maintain them and upkeep them and then to make them smarter, right, in terms of traffic signals and there's just so much we can do. I don't think that we're there yet on RTA Next. So I'm hopeful that that discussion is ongoing. But what's clear is that people are not interested in having all these belts of road if we basically, have potholes that are the size of small buses that we can fall into. Not okay.
Well, you've got to maintain one of the things about the RTA program, it's been successful with new road construction. But I think at the time when it was passed, a lot of people weren't talking, as they are now, Dr. Hines, about potholes and maintenance.
Right, exactly, and they should have been then. I'm glad that we are now, and that's yeah. We have to maintain these. I mean, I don't know about you, but I at least maybe not. It was annually for a while there, but at least every other year or so, I am getting towed to a place to have some large chunk of metal or wire or screw or something that has lacerated the wall of one of my tires.
Oh yeah,
removed and mm-hmm. a tire replaced, mm-hmm. and that's not cheap.
No,
it is incredibly. We're busy people. We have things to do, right? So like now, I've 3 hours out of my day is gone, and I'm sitting around waiting for my tire. It's not really even very quantifiable, but like in terms of lost productivity and extra expenses. It is significant, I know, because I felt it myself, and so is everyone that I talk to. So we really do need to take this seriously and keep our roads in better condition, and the voters supported that.
It's so discouraging. I try to keep on top of that tire situation and the balancing of the tires. Sure. And the whole thing, and I'll go and spend a couple of $100 at the dealership to have my car aligned, and then guess what? On the drive just out of the dealership, I hit this massive pothole, and I'm sure the car, Dr. Hines, is now out of alignment again.
Once again, exactly. I will say, I actually had a situation at the dealership having everything done with my car. They drive it around. They'll sometimes do like a little complimentary wash thingy. Yeah. Just driving it around their own lot. Yeah. They took it to the car wash, and there was a flat tire.
Oh,
and they brought it back, and then the guy came in and was like, I'm so, so sorry. Somehow we ran over something, and your tire is now flat, and we're going to replace it for free and rebalance and realign it. And I felt badly for them because I don't think that was their fault,
I know. All right, Dr. Matt Hines, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to the next time. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks so much, Bill. Have a good one.
All right, we'll pause right here to tell everybody that we've got The Ramsey Show, coming up next on KVOI. Buckmaster saying have a great day and stay safe.